Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Coming up on a Friday.
Save that.
Always sounds so good in my ears. It's never loud enough. The Friday intro, Space Hog in the meantime. Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Happy Friday to you. We made it, and glad to be here with you. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
And Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, is here as well. Good morning to you, Benjamin.
Good morning, everybody.
What a beautiful thing that just happened in our YouTube chat. You can follow us on YouTube. Go subscribe. And Alex Money, literally, in the chat, just gifted 5 Ben and Woods memberships, subscriptions, which is really, really cool. So thank you for that, Alex. That's a really sweet and kind gesture on a Friday. Must be a giving Friday. All right, Ben, give me $50.
No.
Come on, man. What are you doing? Let's keep the good vibes going. I have an idea. So I wanted to run this by you guys. So I got a Seals game tonight, right? And it's a big one. It's a playoff game out at Pechanga Arena, San Diego. We gave away some tickets last night on Instagram and Twitter. Looking forward to seeing all you folks out there. So last week, when the Blue Jays were in town playing the Padres, right? 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Dane Dobie, who is our Hall of Fame forward, he's incredible. Now, he's a Canadian dude, loves the Blue Jays. So I'm walking into the arena. He goes, "Hey, I got the Blue Jays." I go, "All right, $20. And he goes, "All right, if anybody sweeps, it's 40. I go, "Deal." Well, Padres lost 2 of 3. So I show up last week before the game, fresh, crisp, $20 bill in hand. Walk up to Dobes. He goes, "Oh, yeah." Takes the $20, puts it in his sock, continues his warm-up. He scores the first goal of the game, and he scores the game winner in overtime. Now, I paid off my bet, but I'm thinking pretty seriously today, when I see him, I'm just going to hand him a $20 bill. But I don't owe him anything. The debt is squared, but I'm also a very superstitious person. I'll be wearing the exact same outfit I wore last week when we won our playoff game. I need to walk up to him and give him a $20 bill, right? Just to keep... And again, he scored the first goal and the last goal of the game. And I'm like, you know what? It's worth $20 to me. Again, I don't owe him anything. We didn't bet anything, but I want to keep the good vibes going, as we just talked
about. Why not just bet him on the current Blue Jays series? Say, all right, another 20 on the Blue Jays series.
No, I just, because they're not playing the Padres, but I just feel like I need to give him $20, like as a little incentive and to keep things the same.
You don't want to ride with the Nationals this weekend.
It's probably about as safe as bet as the Padres were,
probably,
to be honest. So I think I am. I think I'm just going to walk up to him, surprise him, give him a 20.
How much do those guys make anyway?
Not a lot, man.
I mean, I know it's not Major League Baseball or NBA type money.
Let's put it this way.
He's like maybe the best player in the league.
Yeah, he's one of the highest paid, I do believe. And I think Caitlin Clark makes like 30 grand more than him. So, yeah, it's not a lot. Which, again, is... Look, I certainly appreciate the guy that makes $30 million a year because you put asses in the seats and you are an extreme talent. But when I watch these guys play and that are firefighters and insurance salesmen and, you know, dental assistants and whatever else they do on the weekends, when I watch them play, they're not playing for money. And it's very obvious because they don't make any. They are literally playing for love of sport, city, team. It's really refreshing. I mean, I love the big sports and the big money, and it's great, and guys should get paid. But when you watch guys playing almost 100% for love of the game, it's pretty refreshing in its own right. And to watch how hard they play, the abuse they take out there is pretty special. So, hey, what's an extra $20? I mean, let's be honest. Guy could probably use an extra $20. And if he gets me 2 goals tonight and another dub, I'm pretty happy because that means I get another game check out of it.
All right, you've convinced me.
Yeah, sold.
Yeah, the only problem is if they keep winning, it's a lot of 20s starting to add up.
Yeah, it is, but, you know, again, worth it. It's like, would you pay Would you pay $20 for a Padres victory in a playoff game? The answer is unequivocally yes. Every single time.
That's true.
I mean,
probably
every
the whole fan base.
Bro, 100%.
Especially if you're going to the game.
I'm working the game.
You're already buying, you know, four tickets, parking, hot dogs, whatever. If you could just add on a $20, you know, extra charge to make sure that they won, I don't know a fan that wouldn't do that, especially for a playoff game, even a regular season game.
Bro, no kidding.
Just to make sure they won when you go, yeah. Here's the surcharge for a victory.
Done.
I'll check that box. It's worth it. That's the best feeling when you go to a game. They actually win. You feel good as you're walking out of the ballpark with everybody else. I mean, yeah, it kind of sucks when you go to a game and then everyone's quietly shuffling out of the park after another loss, and you kind of lose some of the good feeling you had when you went.
It's the weirdest thing too, because if I didn't give him $20 tonight and they lost, I would 100% blame myself. If I wore, you know, different shoes than I wore last week, I would feel 100% response. I want to make sure my side of the street
right.
is very clean. And so I know, like, hey, you guys, you know, S the bed tonight. I had nothing to do with it. I paid my 20. I wore the same outfit. I'm ready to go. I'll be prepared. So, yeah, 100%. Matt says, don't give the Padres any ideas for a victory surcharge. They win, and then they bang your credit card on the way out the door. Like, they can do that now, too. They know you're in the ballpark.
But there should be a loss rebate as well.
Ooh.
I think we've hit on something for any professional sports team. Whatever you pay, you pay. But then at the end, if your team loses, you get, you know,
some of
20 bucks knocked off. They refund your card. Or if they win, they get to charge you an extra 20 bucks at the end of the night.
That is, that's not your worst idea by a long stretch. You know what else is not a terrible idea is this, today's National No Pants Day. It's kicking it around in here, and I thought, well, we could do our show pantsless, the three of us. Couple problems with it. Number one, it's very cold in here. Very cold. Like, we're all in, well, except Ben, I don't know how he does it, but we're in jackets, and I got a warm hoodie on, and I think it would be very freeing to do the show no pants-wise. Now, you may be wondering, too, HR, you know, could we really be sitting around in our underwear? There's no one here on Friday. It's a ghost town in this building. There's an engineer, but he's way back there.
But he working hard or hardly working over there?
That's right. There's every studio is dark. You can't see a soul. No one's here.
I actually saw tumbleweeds going through the sales area.
Sales staff is not, they don't work on Fridays, because why would they? Radio's in such a good spot. Why would you work on Mondays and Fridays in the office? You'd be fine. We make so much money, we don't need to be here Mondays and Fridays. The other shows, I don't know what they do. I think they may be out on remote or something, but it's only us.
It's cold.
It is cold.
What about the chairs? They're not that comfortable. Then again, you did one show pantsless
in
our past, in a diaper.
And that was in your parents'
which had
home.
The least comfortable chairs.
The wicker.
In the Corona Cave.
It's funny that your parents got those from one of the places where they used to torture people in Spain in the 1600s. And those were antique chairs that they brought in. And we remember the pillows I used to have to stack?
Like pulling off the couch, like, which of us can steal more pillows to try to make this chair?
I would get there early.
Bearable for our 4-hour show.
I would get there early and I'd stack chairs like a foot high and I'd be sitting on all these pillows.
Look how young you looked back then.
Look at that.
That was pandemic, so that would have been 2020.
Look how thin I was.
That was, I can tell you exactly when it was. It was mid to late August of 2020, the pandemic baseball season, Slam Diego.
Ah, that's right.
You made the bet. There's no way the Padres will hit four Grand Slams in four games.
Right.
And they did.
Hosmer got me.
The last one. Tatis hit the 3-0 Grand Slam. That started it, right?
And
then they had three straight
days.
Hosmer.
Hosmer. Was it Kim? Kimmy?
I want to say Will Myers.
Will Myers,
yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Grisham, maybe.
Yeah, it was funny. And it was cold, though. It was very, very cold. And but No Pants Friday, No Pants Day is an actual thing in here. Also, wanted to take a moment.
So are we taking our pants off or not?
I mean, I'll do it once it warms up in here a little bit. Would you do a pantsless show?
With no one else in here?
No one's here.
Sure, why not?
Yes.
All right, now we're talking.
Now we're talking.
That's now it's Friday.
Now it's Friday.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Yeah. Weird.
Where did that day even come from? Some perv? Some pervert decided, hey, let's just make it no pants.
I mean, in a lot of countries, when you say no pants, that just means you're wearing
shorts
as opposed to long pants or jeans.
Well, we're all wearing.
Which I do most days anyway. I did yesterday during our round table. I was wearing shorts. Today, happened to be wearing pants. I didn't know it was no pants day.
I didn't know either. But I'm happy to pull mine off. I'm in some nice boxer briefs. I got a couple of shout-outs I'd like to do. Shout-out SD, certainly. Shout-out my brother. Shout-out SD again.
Shout-out Escondido.
Shout-out Escondido.
Shout-out to his family.
Shout-out to his family. No, no shout-out to his family today, as far as I know. But our beloved Josh Gorrell, who lives in Dallas, here in Dallas, his son Grayson. Now, this is crazy. He turns 3 years old today. I remember the day he was born. We announced it on the air. He's one of our favorite tier ones. Grayson, 3 years old today. Strap in, Josh. This is the worst year for children you'll ever have. The terrible threes. We are in it right now. Three-nager. Taylor is a straight-up nightmare about 80% of the time. So you thought twos were rough? Threes are a mother blank.
Does every age have its name?
No.
Do the terrible twos become the terrible threes?
They turn into three-nagers. And at three.
Effing four. The mother effing fours.
Four was fine. Five's fine. Six is a little rough.
7 to 9.
Is pretty chill.
Is kind of
cool.
You got to keep an eye on them still.
Yeah.
But
Ben's gone through the gauntlet now already. Yeah. What's the sweet spot?
Yeah, I think 7, 8, 9.
7, 8, 9?
Yeah. Right around there is
where
they're still gullible enough to be well-behaved. But too small to really get into a ton of trouble.
Yeah.
That's kind of the sweet spot. And then it gets kind of harder again.
Then you get closer to puberty.
Yeah, well, then you start getting into kind of the emotional issues of puberty and teenageism and just the real problems that are different from the, you know, it's never as physically exhausting as it is the first 4 to 5 years.
No.
Those are the most physically exhausting years. Then it becomes more of a mental challenge later on, just, worrying and trying to figure things out, that's just constantly difficult as well.
There's a lot of navigation that goes along with it. And it's navigating, you know, the school. It's navigating the work they have to do. It's navigating the other kids. You know, you hear the stories when they get in the car. Oh, you'll never believe what so-and-so did today. And I'm driving going, he did what? Like, no, he really did. I'm like, is everybody okay? Are you okay? I mean, yeah, you're terrified. But Josh, you know, year three is a little bit rough. But Grayson, happy birthday, buddy, from Ben and Woods here. And, of course, I can't let the opening segment go by without wishing my father, Gary Woods, a very happy 69th birthday. 69, my friend.
Boy,
very
Gary.
Nice birthday.
Real age or bit?
No, it's real age.
It's real age.
Well, he didn't want to say it this morning when I called him to wish him happy birthday. So he said, oh, last year in my 60s. And I go, oh, 69, because I'm six.
Nice.
Yeah, and love him very much. And he's a great, great father, great grandfather. And just happy birthday, Dad. I know you're listening.
Happy birthday, Dad.
The biggest fan we have, certainly, is my dad, Gary. And love you very much. Now I'm going to cry. So,
congratulations.
Just the best. Just the best, dude.
We all hope to make it to 69.
No doubt. I sign up for it today.
Nice.
That's 21 more years. I absolutely hope to
not
make it to
69. Not that far away.
It's really
catching,
not.
You're catching up with him quickly, is what I said this morning.
I know. He is a legend. An absolute legend. Love you, Dad.
All right, foreplay complete. We will get into it. Of course, this is a Friar Friday. After a day off yesterday, the Padres on the road today. We'll get you set for everything, lay out our menu, what we have on the show today coming up. Next, glad to have you all with us. Paul Reindle, Stephen Woods, Ben Higgins. It's Ben and Woods on a Friday morning on San Diego's number one sports station. Hopefully traffic is okay early today. We'll see how it's going with Kelly Danick. And then back next on 97.3 The Fan. Any comments, thoughts, ways I could improve on the roundtable from yesterday?
Huh. You hit me with the surprise question.
I thought you did a great job. I thought it went pretty well yesterday. I enjoyed us going around and saying what we thought was the most pleasant surprise of the first month of the season.
Yeah.
Each one of us came up with a different answer, which kind of goes to show you there's actually been quite a bit of unexpected goodness to the San Diego Padres so far in 2024. Not enough to, you know, have them have a winning record at
right.
this point, but there has been some good things that have happened to the San Diego Padres early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, go down the list of Profar and Robert Suarez and Yuki Matsui and who else?
Jake Cronenworth was my choice.
Jackson Merrill. Yeah. And no, he's scuffling a little bit right now.
Dylan Cease has been
a really nice surprise. Again, you guy pitches in Chicago and you hear, oh man, Dylan Cease, another good outing. He looks really good. Really different when he's on your squad and, you know, that Philly's getting everybody right now, so I'm not too worried about that one. But he has been outstanding. I mean, the way he pitched at Coors was ungodly, like one of the best pitching performances I've ever seen. So, a really nice surprise. And, of course, he's going to be towing the slab this evening, Ben, and needs to set the tone, as we talked about on the roundtable. But, again, you know, I know I get painted in the corner that I don't like the roundtable. I actually do like the roundtable a lot. I like hanging with Elo and Elston and Annie. Have a good time doing it. I love when Tony's there. Just having a guy like that to bounce ideas off of. And it feels so good when he acknowledges, oh, it's a great point you made. You know what I mean? Because he did it. He did it at the highest level. He grew up around one of the top five baseball players of all time. So it is a lot of fun to do the roundtable. It's just the time. I'm just wiped after, and I'm wiped when we start. But other than that, man, I love the idea and really have a blast, and you kill it moderating.
We all had pretty positive reviews of Mike Schilt's first month as the manager of the San Diego Padres. Of course, this is a Friday, and Mike Schilt will join us for the manager's report coming up at 9 o'clock today. And I'd say if you like when Tony Gwynn says, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Mike Schilt is also good about that with reporters.
He is.
It's, I think it's probably a bit of a strategy, you know, get him to eat out of your hand a little bit. He goes, he says that many times on a question. You know, it's a really astute point. I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good observation. He'll say that a lot in his postgame.
Hey, my dudes, how you doing?
Hey, Mike, how are you? But you're a little early.
News conferences after games when a reporter asks a question and feels like, oh, that's something I'm glad you brought up about the game. It's probably a tactic, but I think an effective one for a skipper who has to deal with the media as often as Major League Baseball managers do.
Well, there's, you know, and we'll talk a little bit more in today's program about media and the importance of media, the way that some media...
We are very, very important.
No, we think we are. Most people in our chairs really, really fancy themselves as some bastion of intelligence and honor. But, you know, listen, I do think it's an interesting conversation based on something that happened in the NBA last night. And Paulie's got the audio. We'll play it. Pat Beverly. I didn't like this, man. I thought this was out of pocket.
Pat Beverly, probably we just spend the whole don't do this.
We honestly could do
multiple don't do this.
He really did. I mean,
it was kind of a banner day for don't do this for Patrick Beverly.
For Pat Beverly.
I do think many people in the media take themselves too seriously, probably me, one of them at some points.
Yeah, that's fair.
And there's a lot that doesn't need to be done. There's a lot of eyewash in the media.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if it just disappeared and you didn't have the daily coverage of your team, you would miss it, really. You'd miss it a lot, I think.
I think so, too. You wonder there'd be a nice little period where you finished up a game. And let's just go with baseball because that's what we talk about most, right? Guys finish up a game, get a huge dub, walk-off win. There's no Sammy there to interview after the game. There's nobody at your locker. You walk down into the clubhouse. That was awesome. There's no one waiting. You shower, you put your clothes on, you go to the ballpark. I bet you there'd be a little period where you actually enjoyed it.
I don't know if they'd really be that upset about it.
I think after a while of not covering your team. I mean, you can write your story in the paper. You can do your radio show. You can do your blog about it, your podcast. But I do think that the good ones, they realize, well, we need them too. We need interest in this team. There's 40,000 people in that ballpark. I'll be honest with you. It's not because of your win-loss record, okay? It's not over the last couple of years. It's because people have done a good job at drumming up interest in your team, and the owner, you know, got some good players. And I really think, hey, listen, because at the end of the day, every one of these guys, they got shoes they got to sell. They got campfire sets that they want to sell. They got everything that they want to sell. Who can help you with that? The media.
Fernando Tatis Jr. doesn't wear custom shoes just to be cool.
Right.
It's a marketing deal with a company that's hoping to sell some shoes at some point.
Yeah, how good is your marketing without the media?
Right.
Not very. You know, it's not Barry. So, listen, it's, you know, a lot of people look at it as a necessary evil. A lot of people look at it as, oh, this is absolutely important. I think Mike Schill falls in that category where, hey, man, I don't think he's not being genuine. I think this is who he is. And and we always say it about guys in sports. They get it. There are some guys that get it, and there's some guys that don't. Mike Schill gets it.
We'll talk about it a little in context of Pat Beverly coming up in our 7 o'clock hour at Don't Do This. We'll play a little take on Woods. Last chance before we have a new prize starting next week to qualify for that trip to Las Vegas. And the Cool and the Gang tickets coming up at 8 o'clock. It is a Cespedes Family Barbecue Friday as well. Jake Mintz will be our guest this week. We'll talk baseball. We'll do the Randall Report a little bit early at 8:35. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs. Another great game between the Knicks and Sixers. I'm almost sad. Didn't care about that series when it started. Now I'm kind of sad that it's over, because every game was special and spectacular and had drama and excitement, and that included last night's clincher game 6 for the New York Knicks.
Philly was down almost 30 points when I went to go play Tier 1 basketball yesterday.
And then they were up like 10.
And I checked my phone after the game. I'm like, they're down 2.
And then they were down 8, and then they came back to tie it. And it was a thrilling basketball series, no doubt about it. So probably somewhere in the Roundel Report there. And then, of course, as I said, Mike Schilt at 9 o'clock will also be, of course, previewing the Padres-Diamondbacks series that gets underway this evening from Chase Field. 6:40, first pitch, Eco Water SoCal pregame show at 5:40 with Sam Levitt, and a big series for your San Diego Padres. In fact, why don't we start with that in our next segment, looking ahead to what the Padres are facing on this road trip, beginning with 3 in the Valley of the Sun.
Actually, I think we're going to start somewhere else.
Okay, I don't know when we were going to do this, but we were given some absolute gold.
Some gold fell out of the sky last night. From one of the tier ones.
I promise you we have time for all of it.
We do have time for all of it. Like, what did Dion say? I got time today. We, Ben and Woods, we also got time today.
Pants still on, at least at the moment, with Ben and Woods on a Friday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Before we get into the big, big preview that you guys have been waiting for this massive series against the Arizona Diamondbacks, Benjamin, got a tweet last night from one of our beloved Tier 1s, and I believe it was the Guzzinator, and he said, somebody in the Ben and Woods Discord, and there is a Ben and Woods Discord, we were in it for a time, and I got out because I don't want to read, I love you guys, but that's for you, that's for the audience, it's not for me to be in there moderating.
Like, I still have the Discord app.
Me too.
I don't
look at it.
Go in there very often. It's not intentional.
Mine's intentional. I don't.
It feels like work.
It does, but I also stopped searching out negative comments. I just stopped. And if there's negativity in there, I don't want to see it. It's like,
is
Adam,
there negativity in
there? No, there may not be. I just stopped looking for it.
You spend all day on Twitter, but you won't.
Right. But what I don't do is I don't search for negative stuff anymore.
Right. Obviously, I am on social media less than even you guys. I probably should be on it more and responding to the audience. But I do believe that there needs to be a place that's just for the Tier 1s.
And
then we're not part of it.
Yeah.
Good, bad, whatever. You're a community out there as well.
Correct.
And you get to have your own space.
Well, Lisa says there's no negativity in
there. Okay, good.
This is the family.
All right, good. All right, well, and even if there is, that's a good place for it. So,
but yes, Mark in the Discord chat. And I believe he actually messaged me. I need to double check, because, again, I don't open Discord very often. But we were sent something yesterday.
I listened to about 15 seconds and said, that'll play.
I listened to the entire thing.
And we'll play it on the air for you right now.
I like a juicy, sweet strawberries. I like a good marching band. I like a good thin pancake.
Sounds familiar.
I like a Nickelback song or two. I like a barbecue chicken pizza. I really like those seeds. I like a midnight buffet. I kind of like the smell of soft scrub, like more of a small derriere. I like cake. I like it. I like both the hamburger and the cheeseburger. I like clocks. I like how I've kind of set up my life. I like grasshopper pie, oh no. I like a creamy. I like good firm banana. I like just looking at the sea.
like moist. I like curry. I like big butts. I like fried Brussels sprouts. I like more of a firm feel like popcorn. I like Nordstrom. I do like musicals. I like pepperoni. I like nice hotels. I like Nick getting the start today. I like nuts, Steph Curry. Steph Curry, I like that song.
That's amazing.
I like Squirt.
Oh.
I like Sake. I like San Diego State. I like a straight up Paul Abdul. I like the beef and broccoli. I like to mix it up. I like Sign Expense. I like that song. I like the crispiness of the waffle. I really like cheese. I like the little lunch meat.
You know what it reminds me of? It's a song that Billy Bean's daughter would sing in Moneyball. That's the vibe that I got. The Things Ben Likes folk version.
I had wondered what Bananarama had been up to since the 1980s, and now we know what they're doing, just putting together custom pieces.
Based on your lyrics.
Apparently so.
Yeah, so that was the,
I assume that was AI? Is that something you can do now with artificial intelligence?
Apparently.
Create songs.
Apparently.
Just put in some words, and they will spit out a catchy tune.
Kind of it's kind of a banger, actually, as the kids say.
Although I like to picture people actually in a recording studio.
Playing,
handed,
singing.
Here's your lyrics.
Here's your lyrics.
Here's the tune. Let's go. Let's come up with a good song of Things Ben Likes.
I loved that. It really, it's good for a Friday. Puts you in a good mood. That was really brilliant. Thank you guys for doing that, Mark. And I loved it. And I'd like to hear the death metal version. I'd like to hear every version of Things Ben Likes that are available to be made. So, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Very, very well done.
And it's kind of, like, scary, actually.
It is.
About the box of possibilities that opens.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Don't know if I like it or not, but I know that song made me happy.
Like,
so.
I'm pretty out on AI, which I realize is not great, because it kind of is the direction we as a society are heading. But man, I loved that.
That really made me happy. Cole said, I had that playing on my phone last night. I truly did not know how to explain what it was to my wife when she asked. Well, it's just a new folk song. The new Taylor Swift, if you will.
The Chicks.
Yeah. Yeah. Things.
I like a juicy, sweet straw.
Things that Ben likes.
Your call on Billy Bean's daughter.
It is. I'm just a little bit caught in the middle. Yeah, that's great. That's great, babe. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
You know, that entire movie works without her, too.
1,000,000,000,000%. It's the pee break for me when I'm like, oh, here she is. And I run to the bathroom and take a leak and come back and it's over. It's unnecessary. That whole part, it was just wedged in there. We didn't need it. Stay with Scott Hatterberg.
Were they trying to humanize,
I guess,
maybe the character a little bit as a dad?
Didn't need his ex-wife. And
bro, I will say, the scene with the ex-wife and the new husband, when he goes, yeah, you know, she did get a cell phone, and we can discuss it. He goes, her mother and I will discuss it. Thank you. It just lays me out every time. Now, that one I do love. Her mother, like, and I will discuss it. Don't worry about it.
That was too bad that you guys lost Jimby. Thanks.
He's such a jerk in that movie, and I love it. I actually watched it last night with Bo, and I go, I need to be more like Billy Bean. I need to be more direct, and I'm very soft and get walked all over. So that's the new direction.
My wife writes in the chat, you're such a loser, Dad. You're such a loser,
it's
Dad.
So
like that
good.
Whole song at the end of the movie, you're like, what are we doing?
It's terrible. Didn't need it. All right, let's get into the Padres, or
yes,
CBS 121 is going to vomit in his hands.
We'll check some traffic,
Padres,
and then
sports.
Look ahead to the series that starts tonight, coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Well, speaking of CBS 121... says the Padres should be able to win 2 of 3 this weekend. Well, let's set some lofty goals. Why don't we? The Padres visiting the Arizona Diamondbacks. You're defending National League champions. First matchup against the Diamondbacks since they did the whole World Series thing unexpectedly last October.
The whole World Series thing.
None of us were picturing the Arizona Diamondbacks making that run
to
the World Series.
What a run. You got to tip your cap.
Looked like the Phillies were the team, and then all of a sudden the Phillies stopped playing well, and the Diamondbacks were just sitting there going, I guess it's us now, because it's not going to be Philadelphia. So they have gotten off to a pretty slow start. They're four games under 500. They are in fourth place in the National League West. They've yet to get great contributions from some of their offseason acquisitions. Health has been a big issue as well for the Arizona Diamondbacks so far. But they've also experienced some of those symptoms of the hangover. Corbin Carroll, not off to a good start after a terrific rookie season, the old sophomore type of slump, you know, that a lot of players do experience at points. And I have no doubt that he'll figure it out and he'll be fine. He's got too much talent. He's a good ball player. But right now they're in a bit of the torture chamber. You're catching them, hopefully, at a good moment if you're the San Diego Padres. We say that a lot of times.
We do.
It does seem like the Padres oftentimes are the team that fixes the other team once they're in a bad moment. You don't want to be that team right now. We talked about it on the roundtable yesterday. You will have to play them three more series after this. This is a good opportunity to go in, as CBS said, take two out of three from the Arizona Diamondbacks at Chase Field. You have not had a lot of success there historically. None of the pitching matchups are overly scary. Zach Gallen has been bumped out of his start that was supposed to be today. He will be replaced by Slade Ciccone. I'm not even sure how it's pronounced. He's certainly got a decent ERA, but it's only in a couple of starts. Tomorrow, Michael King will pitch against Brandon Pfaadt, who struck out, I think, 11,
didn't he,
in his last start?
Yeah.
4.63 ERA, but coming off a really good performance. And then Matt Walter and Ryan Nelson in the final game on Sunday. All of these should be winnable for the San Diego Padres. They take two out of three. You're doing something right. You're very happy with the results of this series in Arizona.
Yeah, you know, the offense has been okay for the Arizona Diamondbacks, kind of looking at their numbers. I mean, fourth in runs scored, Benny, sixth in OBP, eighth in batting average. I mean, it's not world-beater stuff. Pitching is really where they've scuffled this year.
But it's been very Padres-like this year for them.
It has.
Like 2023 Padres. I think in three of the games, three of their wins, they've outscored their opponents like 47-3 or something.
So feast or famine.
And
for
the
them.
Rest of the games, they've struggled to score. They've lost a lot of close ones. Their run differential is fantastic. It's like +26. They should be four or five games over 500, and instead they're four games under 500 because it's been feast or famine for the Arizona Diamondbacks this year. Couple of feast games, a lot more famine games consistently this season for their offense.
Looks like they just acquired Matt Bauman from the Twins.
DFA pickup.
Okay, picked him up. He was 0-0. 7 2/3 innings, 6 Ks, 2.35 ERA for the Twins. They picked him up to help bolster their bullpen. So, yeah, man, it feels fairly evenly matched between these two teams, right? I do feel like there's definitely an advantage pitching-wise for the Padres, at least in the first couple games. We beat him, I think, the first time, and then he absolutely shoved. Or was it the other way? Is he the one that almost threw a no-hitter against us? One of these guys did throw a no-hitter.
Neither of them who threw the no-hitter, but Pfaadt did have a couple of good starts down the stretch. Now, at the time, we were going, this is a nobody. What are you doing? And then Brandon Pfaadt went on and had a really good postseason and kind of broke out, and everyone's going, oh, this guy's actually a pretty decent
really
pitcher. It wasn't quite as humiliating as we thought when they were struggling against Brandon Pfaadt last season. But, yeah, we'll see. It's you know, you always have those situations when you face a guy like tonight that you haven't seen before, and I don't think the Padres have seen tonight's starter before, that it can go two different directions. Sometimes the first time you get a look at him, you don't have the experience, you don't have the look on the pitcher so far, but other times, you know, you get a guy and you just happen to do well against him. So a little bit unexpected and not sure what's going to happen. We do need to see Dylan Cease, who's been really good, 3-2 with a 2.7 ERA, bounce back from his rough start against the Phillies his last time out. I don't know that having a rough start against the Phillies is necessarily, you know, a big crime in Major League Baseball. They were a hot team. They're a good team. got a great offense. They got him a couple of times. Not the end of the world. Both Yu Darvish has come back. Joe Musgrove bounced back from a bad start against the Phillies. It's now Dylan Cease's turn to do that tonight, and I fully expect him to have a pretty good outing tonight to start this. After the day off, they have 13 games in 13 days, should be refreshed, should be ready to go for the game tonight, looking for a third straight victory.
Yeah, big dude tonight that we're facing, Slade Ciccone, Ben. He's off to a good start, as you mentioned, but you know, look, he's got a fastball. Guys are batting 118 against it and slugging 176 against Ciccone's fastball. So, yeah, I mean, I think Padres also, I feel like they always have their work cut out for them. There's really no days off in the big leagues for the most part. And they're such an unpredictable team. You really don't know what Padres offense is going to show up. The one thing, nice to get first ups tonight, you know, try to set the tone early against this kid and you know, score some runs early for Dylan Cease and really, you know, try to take control of this series in game one. I mean, Dylan Cease is your ace, and you need him to pitch like an ace tonight, and you need our superstars to be superstars this weekend.
Padres have been better on the road than they have been at home so far this season.
Yep.
And I was floored by the stat. You talked about getting off to a fast start. I did not realize, I think until yesterday, that Wednesday's game was the first time all season that the Padres gave up a run in the top of the first and came back to win the game.
Wow.
Every other time they gave up a first inning run, they ended up losing. But Joe Musgrove gave up the home run to Spencer Steer. Padres did come back to win that game on Wednesday.
Well, and I said it on the roundtable yesterday, you know, Corbin Carroll is a great baseball player. You don't want to be the team that gets him going, right? Because he's not really firing on all cylinders right now. And you know that they're going to, I don't know what their numbers are as far as running goes, but they were talking. Before we get into the big preview that you guys have been waiting for this massive series against the Arizona Diamondbacks, Benjamin, got a tweet last night from one of our beloved Tier 1s, and I believe it was the Guzzinator. And he said, somebody in the Ben and Woods Discord, and there is a Ben and Woods Discord. We were in it for a time, and I got out because I don't want to read. I love you guys, but that's for you. That's for the audience. It's not for me to be in there moderating.
Like, I still have the Discord app.
Me too.
I don't
look at it.
Go in there very often. It's not intentional.
Mine's intentional.
Forget.
I don't.
It feels like work.
It does, but I also stopped searching out negative comments. I just stopped. And if there's negativity in there, I don't want to see it. It's like,
is
Adam,
there negativity in
there? No, there may not be. I just stopped looking for it.
You spend all day on Twitter, but you won't.
Right. But what I don't do is I don't search for negative stuff anymore.
Right? Obviously, I am on social media less than even you guys. I probably should be on it more and responding to the audience. But I do believe that there needs to be a place that's just for the Tier 1s.
So then
we're not part of it.
Yeah.
Good, bad, whatever. You're a community out there as well.
Correct.
And you get to have your own space.
Well, Lisa says there's no negativity in
there. Okay, good.
This is the family.
All right, good. All right. Well, and even if there is, that's a good place for it. So,
but yes, Mark in the Discord chat, and I believe he actually messaged me. I need to double check because, again, I don't open Discord very often, but we were sent something yesterday.
I listened to about 15 seconds and said, that'll play.
I listened to the entire thing.
And we'll play it on the air for you right now.
I like a juicy, sweet strawberries. I like a good marching band. I like a good thin pancake.
Sounds familiar.
I like a Nickelback song or two. I like a barbecue chicken pizza. I really like those seeds. I like a midnight buffet. I kind of like the smell of soft scrub, like more of a small derriere. I like cake, I like it. I like both the hamburger and the cheeseburger. I like clocks, I like how I've kind of set up my life. I like grasshopper pie, oh no. I like a creamy. I like good firm banana. I like just looking at the sea. I like moist. I like curry. I like big butt salad, fried Brussels sprouts. I like more of a firm feel like popcorn. I like Nordstrom. I do like
musicals. I like pepperoni. I like nice hotels. I like Nick getting the start today. I like nuts, Steph Curry. Steph Curry, I like that song.
That's amazing.
I like Squirt.
Oh.
I like Sake, I like San Diego State. I like a straight up Paul Abdul. I like the beef and broccoli. I like to mix it up. I like Sign Expense. I like that song. I like the crispiness of the waffle. I really like cheese. I like the little lunch meat.
You know what it reminds me of? It's a song that Billy Bean's daughter would sing in Moneyball. That's the vibe that I got. The Things Ben Likes folk version.
I had wondered what Bananarama had been up to since the 1980s, and now we know what they're doing, just putting together custom pieces.
Based on your lyrics.
Apparently so.
Yeah, so that was the,
I assume that was AI? Is that something you can do now with artificial intelligence?
Apparently.
Create songs.
Apparently.
Just put in some words, and they will spit out a catchy tune.
It's kind of a banger, actually, as the kids say.
Although I like to picture people actually in a recording studio.
Playing,
handed,
singing.
Here's your lyrics.
Here's your lyrics.
Here's the tune. Let's go. Let's come up with a good song of Things Ben Likes.
I loved that. It really, it's good for a Friday. Puts you in a good mood. That was really brilliant. Thank you guys for doing that, Mark. And I loved it. And I'd like to hear the death metal version. I'd like to hear every version of Things Ben Likes that are available to be made. So, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Very, very well done.
And it's kind of, like, scary, actually.
It is.
About the box of possibilities that opens.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Don't know if I like it or not, but I know that song made me happy.
Like, I'm pretty out on AI, which I realize is not great, because it kind of is the direction we as a society are heading. But man, I loved that.
That really made me happy. Cole said, I had that playing on my phone last night. I truly did not know how to explain what it was to my wife when she asked. Well, that's just a new folk song. The new Taylor Swift, if you will.
The Chicks.
Yeah. Yeah. Things.
I like a juicy, sweet straw.
Things that Ben likes.
Your call on Billy Bean's daughter.
It is. I'm just a little bit caught in the middle. That's great. That's great, babe. That's beautiful. Beautiful.
You know, that entire movie works without her, too.
1,000,000,000,000%. It's the pee break for me when I'm like, oh, here she is. And I run to the bathroom and take a leak and come back and it's over. It's unnecessary. That whole part, it was just wedged in there. We didn't need it. Stay with Scott Hatterberg.
Were they trying to humanize,
I guess,
maybe the character a little bit as a dad?
Didn't need his ex-wife. And
bro, I will say, the scene with the ex-wife and the new husband, when he goes, yeah, you know, she did get a cell phone, and we can discuss it. He goes, her mother and I will discuss it. Thank you. It just lays me out every time. Now, that one I do love. Her mother, like, and I will discuss it. Don't worry about it.
That was too bad that you guys lost Jimby. Thanks.
He's such a jerk in that movie, and I love it. I actually watched it last night with Bo, and I go, I need to be more like Billy Bean. I need to be more direct, and I'm very soft and get walked all over. So that's the new direction.
My wife writes in the chat, you're such a loser, Dad. You're such a loser,
it's
Dad.
So
like that
good.
Whole song at the end of the movie, you're like, what are we doing?
It's terrible. Didn't need it. All right, let's get into the Padres, or
yes,
CBS 121 is going to vomit in his hands.
We'll check some traffic,
Padres,
and then
sports.
Look ahead to the series that starts tonight, coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Well, speaking of CBS 121, says the Padres should be able to win 2 of 3 this weekend. Well, let's set some lofty goals, why don't we? The Padres visiting the Arizona Diamondbacks, your defending National League champions. First matchup against the Diamondbacks since they did the whole World Series thing unexpectedly last October.
The whole World Series thing.
None of us were picturing the Arizona Diamondbacks making that run
to
the World Series.
What a run. You got to tip your cap.
Looked like the Phillies were the team, and then all of a sudden the Phillies stopped playing well, and the Diamondbacks were just sitting there going, I guess it's us now, because it's not going to be Philadelphia. So they have gotten off to a pretty slow start. They're 4 games under .500. They are in fourth place in the National League West. They've yet to get great contributions from some of their offseason acquisitions. Health has been a big issue as well for the Arizona Diamondbacks so far, but They've also experienced some of those symptoms of the hangover. Corbin Carroll not off to a good start after a terrific rookie season, the old sophomore type of slump, you know, that a lot of players do experience at points. And I have no doubt that he'll figure it out and he'll be fine. He's got too much talent. He's a good ball player. But right now they're in a bit of the torture chamber. You're catching them hopefully at a good moment if you're the San Diego Padres. We say that a lot of times.
We do.
It does seem like the Padres oftentimes are the team that fixes the other team once they're in a bad moment. You don't want to be that team right now. We talked about it on the roundtable yesterday. You will have to play them three more series after this. This is a good opportunity to go in, as CBS said, take two out of three from the Arizona Diamondbacks at Chase Field. You have not had a lot of success there historically. None of the pitching matchups are overly scary. Zach Gallen has been bumped out of his start that was supposed to be today. He will be replaced by Slade Ciccone. I'm not even sure how it's pronounced. He's certainly got a decent ERA, but it's only in a couple of starts. Tomorrow, Michael King will pitch against Brandon Pfaadt, who struck out, I think, 11,
he did, in his last start.
Yeah. 4.63 ERA, but coming off a really good performance. And then Matt Waldron and Ryan Nelson in the final game on Sunday. All of these should be winnable for the San Diego Padres. They take two out of three. You're doing something right. You're very happy with the results of this series in Arizona.
Yeah, you know, the offense has been okay for the Arizona Diamondbacks, kind of looking at their numbers. I mean, fourth in runs scored, Benny, sixth in OBP, eighth in batting average. I mean, it's not world-beater stuff. Pitching is really where they've scuffled this year.
But it's been very Padres-like this year for them.
It has.
Like 2023 Padres. I think in three of the games, three of their wins, they've outscored their opponents like 47-3 or something.
So feast or famine.
And
for
the
them.
Rest of the games, they've struggled to score. They've lost a lot of close ones. Their run differential is fantastic. It's like plus 26. They should be four or five games over 500, and instead they're four games under 500 because it's been feast or famine for the Arizona Diamondbacks this year. Couple of feast games, a lot more famine games consistently this season for their offense.
Looks like they just acquired Matt Bauman from the Twins.
DFA pickup.
Okay, picked him up. He was 0-0. 7 2/3 innings, 6 Ks, 2.35 ERA for the Twins. They picked him up to help bolster their bullpen. So, yeah, man, it feels fairly evenly matched between these two teams, right? I do feel like there's definitely an advantage pitching-wise for the Padres, at least in the first couple games. We beat him, I think, the first time, and then he absolutely shoved. Or was it the other way? Is he the one that almost threw a no-hitter against us? One of these guys did throw a no-hitter.
Neither of them who threw the no-hitter, but Pfaadt did have a couple of good starts down the stretch. Now, at the time, we were going, this is a nobody. What are you doing? And then Brandon Pfaadt went on and had a really good postseason and kind of broke out, and everyone's going, oh, this guy's actually a pretty decent pitcher. It wasn't quite as humiliating as we thought when they were struggling against Brandon Pfaadt last season. But, yeah, we'll see. It's... you know, you always have those situations when you face a guy like tonight that you haven't seen before, and I don't think the Padres have seen tonight's starter before, that it can go two different directions. Sometimes the first time you get a look at him, you don't have the experience, you don't have the look on the pitcher so far, but other times, you know, you get a guy and you just happen to do well against him. So a little bit unexpected and not sure what's going to happen. We do need to see Dylan Cease, who's been really good, 3-2 with a 2.7 ERA, bounced back from his rough start against the Phillies his last time out. I don't know that having a rough start against the Phillies is necessarily, you know, a big crime in Major League Baseball. They were a hot team. They're a good team. Got a great offense. They got him a couple of times. Not the end of the world. Both Yu Darvish has come back. Joe Musgrove bounced back from a bad start against the Phillies. It's now Dylan Cease's turn to do that tonight, and I fully expect him to have a pretty good outing tonight to start this after the day off. They have 13 games in 13 days, should be refreshed, should be ready to go for the game tonight, looking for a third straight victory.
A big dude tonight that we're facing, Slade Ciccone, Ben. He's off to a good start, as you mentioned, but, you know, look, he's, let's see, he's got a fastball. Guys are batting 118 against it. and slugging 176 against Ciccone's fastball. So, yeah, I mean, I think Padres also, I feel like they always have their work cut out for them. There's really no days off in the big leagues for the most part. And they're such an unpredictable team. You really don't know what Padres' offense is going to show up. The one thing, nice to get first ups tonight, you know, try to set the tone early against this kid and you know, score some runs early for Dylan Cease and really, you know, try to take control of this series in game one. I mean, Dylan Cease is your ace, and you need him to pitch like an ace tonight, and you need our superstars to be superstars this weekend.
Padres have been better on the road than they have been at home so far this season.
Yep.
And I was floored by the stat. You talked about getting off to a fast start. I did not realize, I think until yesterday, that Wednesday's game was the first time all season that the Padres gave up a run in the top of the first and came back to win the game.
Wow.
Every other time they gave up a first inning run, they ended up losing. But Joe Musgrove gave up the home run to Spencer Steer. Padres did come back to win that game on Wednesday.
Well, and I said it on the roundtable yesterday, you know, Corbin Carroll is a great baseball player. You don't want to be the team that gets him going, right? Because he's not really firing on all cylinders right now. And you know that they're going to, I don't know what their numbers are as far as running goes, but they were talking about it on the broadcast last week when they were previewing this series, Ben. Do you remember them last year, how much they ran? I mean, they ran and ran and ran. And let's be honest, the Padres are a team that you can run on. So expect if they do get on, they're probably going to be moving. That's the brand of baseball.
They did a fairly good job containing the Reds, who have Ellie De La Cruz and some other runners as well.
He didn't even attempt a stolen base at all.
He had a couple. He was only on base a couple of times, hit the home run in the first game, and then he was only on base a couple other times, and I feel like there was first pitch swings after that, so he didn't really have the opportunity to go after stolen bases, but he had already came into the series with like 17 of them and did not even attempt a stolen base. So don't know if the pitchers or catchers, if they've made any adjustments at that point, but they did do a better job controlling the running game of the Cincinnati Reds in this last series. They'll have to do the same thing against the Arizona Diamondbacks. You always know when a team is struggling, like the Diamondbacks have done, they tend to want to make things happen by stealing bases,
runs. They're not running a ton right now. The Reds actually run more than anybody else in baseball. Diamondbacks are 20th in the league in attempts. Padres actually running a lot more than the Diamondbacks. So maybe they changed their personnel a little bit. They've added some pop to their lineup with Suarez and guys like that. But they're not running at the frenetic pace that they were last year.
Do you feel like that the Padres have, is it just in our mind, or do you feel like they have changed their style of baseball?
I do.
From last season, under Mike Shildt,
and I think they had
different combination of players.
Yeah, I think they had to, and I think they absolutely have. And I think when you have guys at the bottom of your order that are just trying to make things happen and get on and contact guys like Jackson Merrill and Tyler Wade, guys that have a little speed, yeah, you have to be a different team.
Well, they do have players with more speed. When you have Tyler Wade as your either DH or third baseman,
instead of Carpenter or
Matt Carpenter or Nelson Cruz,
right,
it lends itself to putting more guys in motion and running some more. I do remember, though, early last season, Bob Melvin wasn't really doing anything. He was just throw out the lineup.
Yeah, wait for a three-run homer.
They're going to mash, and then it didn't happen. And they did start, actually, trying to be more aggressive and running. And I don't know that it actually helped them necessarily win more games, but there was a conscious effort at some point to do more of that, to be a more active baseball team. This year, it seemed more natural, though, from the outset. And I don't know if that's a Mike Shildt thing or just a these are the players that they've got thing.
But it's funny, though.
You've seen a team that is more aggressively looking to take opportunities on the base paths.
Well, and last year, the Diamondbacks finished second in swipes. Padres were top 10. Padres were number 9.
That surprises me.
In steals with 137, got caught 32 times. Diamondbacks stole 166 bags, only getting caught 26 times, tied for the lowest in baseball. So they were really smart when they did it. And it obviously worked. I mean, they made it to the World Series. They had a brand of baseball. They may have gotten away from it a little bit, and it may be injury dependent as well. And, you know, guys get older. I don't know why, but I know when you add power to your lineup, you're more reluctant to try to steal bags because you got guys up there that can actually hit the ball out of the ballpark. So, but yeah, they were firing last year on all cylinders. Don't let them find their footing this weekend and roll you for three games or two games. You know, don't let them get hot. And you continue to stay hot because you won two in a row. Every time this happened last year, every time we'd win two in a row, we'd have a friggin' off day.
Every single time. I want to ask Mike Shildt about that because we've seen this team do many things that last year's team didn't do. Score big innings. They've had more 4-run innings already this season than they had almost all of last year. They have, they've come from behind to win some games.
Yep.
Their record in 1-run games is better. They still haven't won more than 3 in a row, though.
Right.
And I think they've only done that once. They're going for 3 tonight. I want to ask Mike Shildt, what is it that puts a long winning streak together? Is there something more than just playing consistent baseball? What is it when a team really gets hot? Because he managed a team that won 17 in a row to get to the playoffs. We haven't seen anything like that here. Feels like in 5 or 6 years almost, a team that got that hot.
Yeah, I mean, the Marlins just won their third game in a row yesterday, swept the Rockies, forcing a team meeting for the Rockies. Is that kind of a waste of time?
The Rockies have not won since they came back from 9-4 against the Padres in the bottom of the eighth inning.
It's fantastic.
Like you thought, oh, this is going to spark something good for them.
No.
So
it was
happy.
It was a
random blip in the radar there.
So yeah, Marlins and Padres are tied with 3 wins apiece. Is their top
their cap?
Sure. Yeah,
their win streak cap. All right, we'll come back, play some take on Woods on a Friday. Also, another big acquisition for the SDSU basketball program. It's all next here on the Fan.